Here we go.
Welcome to the Rebel Alliance Briefing. Please visit our website, https://rabr.kaileohansen.us. There you can find links to send us feedback, connect to us on social media, or instructions on how to load the podcast onto your device.
Yeah.
I'm Kyle John Johansson. This is Andrew Scott Sutton. And Rick Ross Bosley.
Yes, Rick
is here. It's time to talk Star Wars.
Scott says he's traveling somewhere with one of his grandmas, which I think it's his wife's grandma, so grandma-in-law? I don't know how that works. So today we're reviewing Star Wars Tales of the Empire, Season 1, Episode 6, the final episode of the series called The Way Out. And I think we're going to figure out how Barriss gets out of what we'll see in the episode. Yeah, we'll see it. So we're going to do an unboxing also today. One more. And we'll talk about the episode, do a recap and all that fun stuff, and then we'll wrap it up. How's that sound? Sounds good. So let me adjust my camera, push this other button.
Now we have a special treat. It's unboxings.
Don't scan that barcode. Don't scan that one. Scan this one. Anyway, here's our box. Look at that. Too much belly there. Let me move that.
That's a small box.
It's a smaller box than last time, yes.
Is that Grogu?
No.
R2-D.
You think a small box it would be, but no. Let's open it up and see.
Good things come in small boxes.
Oh, so it could be Yoda? Is that who you're saying? Oh, look, there's yellow eyes.
Jar Jar!
No, sir. A couple episodes ago, we saw a Jawa. We saw this Jawa. And his name is an off-world Jawa, which meaning off of Tatooine. This is just a regular Jawa, and they got yellow eyes instead of red eyes. So there's a difference here. 371 Star Wars, and I believe this is just plain Star Wars. Look at that. No collection, nothing.
That's
isn't that kind of interesting?
That is.
I think it's one of the early ones that when they first switched over to Disney. I think this is one of the early ones that came out. 371, of course.
Put them side by side with, there you go, like that. Put the red-eyed one right beside it. Oh, that's cool.
If it's interesting, you notice the red-eyed one is 351. This is 371. You would assume that they're printed and, you know, by the number, that's when they're printed, but. So the idea is if you see a red-eyed one, then you know it's not on Tatooine. If you see a yellow-eyed one, it's Tatooine. But I think we've seen both on different situations.
Maybe they wear glasses, and that's why it like tries to fool people.
See, 351, the red-eyed one, is the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
We saw him on the Mandalorian at one point.
Yeah.
And that's where they come from, and that's the red-eyed ones are the ones that Pelly's mod shop. She's the one. Those are the red-eyed ones she talks to. And we see them out in the desert too.
Rose-covered glasses because they're on a different planet. And the sun hurts their eyes.
Something.
I saw a day or two ago that they think like their faces are like rodent shaped.
Possibly.
Because we never see them.
They also could have been humans from way in the past, too.
That's true.
And they cover up like that because the chemicals and stuff on the planet are harsh enough that it bothers the skin.
Could be.
Which is odd because all of our characters are on the planet for years and have no problems. 371. There's the side view again. And the red beady eyes. Jawa. Star Wars. Woohoo. That's our unboxing. Hey. See if I can get the camera back up on my face. Oh, no.
Oh, back there. Hey, Monica Lewinsky, put it up a little higher.
I got it too loose. I'm crooked. I hate crooked. All right, we're back. Sort of. Stop moving, camera. There we go. All right, so, Tales of the Empire episode, or season one, episode six, called The Way Out, was directed by Nate Villanova. Storyline, David Filoni. Writer was Matt Mitchovich again. Our music was scored by Kevin Kinner, Sean Kinner, Deanna Kinner. We had a brief cast again. Attendant number one was Steve Bloom. Attendant number two was Anna Graves. Barriss Ophif was Meredith Salinger. Father was Keston John. And Lynn Kashish, the fourth sister. Oh, she reappears. Raya Rahilstead. I guess that's how you say that. I said it different every time. Rahilstead. There's too many vowels in there, so I can't figure out how to say it.
R. Her last name is R.
R. Right, so this episode originally aired on May the 4th. It was 16 minutes long, so it's like 5 minutes longer than the last episode. And this one took place after the Battle of Yavin. It starts from zero, which is when the Death Star blew up, to nine. Nine to zero, which is what it says. So nine is, it's all after. I put it on my notes backwards, but it's zero to nine. And that is the time after, the Jedi have been, let's say, eliminated, which we know they aren't, and whatever. So, what that means is it's time to grab your favorite beverage, pull up a chair, and join us in the Rebel Alliance briefing room. Yay, briefing room. Yay, let me get my notes. All right. Yeah. The episode opens with a snowstorm blanketing the landscape. Snow? We're always in the desert. Snow? A four-legged animal scurries by. And a couple are carrying a child travel with them in a animal pack through the blizzard. Amidst the storm, they encounter a short Mahozan. The man tells the Mahozan that they're seeking the healer. So Mahozan's a type of person. We're seeking the healer. The woman carries a small child in her arms. And the Mahozan tells the couple to follow them. Later, the blizzard passes the travelers and approaches a small hut. A woman dressed in a fur coat invites them inside to meet the healer. The healer reveals herself to be former Jedi Padawan and former Inquisitor Barriss Ophif, who asks to see the child. Bring the child to me. Bring it to me. She touches the child's head and says, "There appears to be nothing wrong with your child."
Weirdos.
What are you coming up here for? The parents agree. Oh, well, why did we bring her? And that the Galactic Empire came to their village and took samples of the child's blood. Oh. They tell Ophif that the Imperials were scared of the child and wanted to take him away, prompting them to flee. So they're on the run from the Empire, Galactic Empire. And they explain that the Mahoesian traveler told them to find her, the healer.
The healer.
Quotes. She invites the couple in to come inside and sit with her. O'Fife explains that her family faced a similar situation, but the Jedi took her and trained her as their own. Which, this brings up the subject that we see throughout the entire Star Wars thing is the Jedi doing the same thing that the Sith are doing. You know, they capture these kids and make it look like they're doing something good, but they're kidnapping these kids and training them and not allowing them to go back to see their parents or anything.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is that the Sith are the ones drawing blood, or not really the Empire. They're drawing blood. The Jedi just kind of take them. But yeah, they have to take them somehow. But, like, this was hearkening back to Omega.
Yep.
And the timeline was, zero would be almost 20 years later, nine would be almost 30 years later after Omega.
Yep, and the Republic is, because they blew up the Death Star, the Republic is kind of in charge.
Yeah.
Basically until after the Return of the Jedi, when Mandalorian time is when the First Order starts to take over again.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird that they're still, like, tracking these kids down and testing them with whatever they're testing them for.
Midichlorians.
The Emperor still needs help.
Yep. Of course. I think he needs help all the way up until the sequels too. He looks a little funny in this show.
Yeah, he's not aged well. The Tatooine Desert has been hard on him.
Exactly.
He dehydrated.
Alright, so O'Fife explains that her family faced a similar situation with the Jedi, but she was trained as their own, and she talks about seeing amazing things and traveling to the stars with her master, Luminara Undeli, before a darkness took her over. O'Fife explains that that was long ago, when the mother asks if their child is a Jedi. O'Fife explains that in the days of the Jedi, they would have considered it to become a potential Jedi. She says that such gifts are a curse under the Empire. And O'Fife says that the parents were right to flee the Empire and use them, or something worse could have happened. Just then, the wind enters the hut and snuffs out the candles. And the Mohegan tells O'Fife that someone is coming. The father accompanies O'Fife outside the hut. In the distance, O'Fife sees a figure approaching. Uh-oh. A figure. Mm-hmm. Who could it be?
Darth?
She tells the Mohegan traveler to take her family to the safety of the starship, and board it and leave. When the Mohegan says they are here to help, O'Fife tells them to take the family and see an old friend using the coordinates stored in their ship's navigational computer.
Who's the old friend?
That's a good question. I don't think we ever find out either.
No.
The other attendant offers to come back to help, but O'Fife tells the two attendants that they have done more than they should, and she tells them to pass on everything she has taught them. Everything she taught them, and the parents ask how they can repay the kindness, and O'Fife tells them to escape aboard her starship. Your escape is enough for me, basically.
I think it was Yoda.
Yeah, it could be.
Old friend.
It could be. 800 years old. After others have left, O'Fife faces the stranger, who turns out to be the fourth sister, former Jedi known as Lynn Rakish. The fourth sister expresses surprise and delight to have found O'Fife. When O'Fife tells her to leave, the fourth sister says that she has been sent for the child Micah. O'Fife stands defiantly, and the fourth sister advances on her with her double-bladed spinning lightsaber. She's got the upgraded lightsaber now.
and Darth got to.
Which she has in singular mode right now. When Ophith condemns her for kidnapping innocent children for the Empire, the fourth sister denounces her as a traitor. You're a traitor. She says she doesn't expect her to understand anything. The fourth sister is angered by Ophith calling her by her old name, which is Lynn. Lynn Wreck. She says she keeps calling her Lynn, and she's like, no, I'm the fourth sister, dang it.
Don't call me that.
Ophith dodges the Inquisitor's blade, prompting her to activate her lightsaber's second blade. Oh, now she's getting serious. Ophith continues to dodge the sister's attack when Ophith taunts her with her anger and makes her predictable. She's saying that her anger makes her predictable, which is kind of what they told Ophith when they were training her, that her thoughts make her predictable. The Inquisitor shifts her lightsaber to the spinning mode and launches a third attack. Ophith uses the Force to deactivate the weapon. Huh. Again, one of those things is, why don't they do that more often?
Exactly.
Causing the fourth sister to drop to the ground, she realizes that though Ophith is distracting her so that her attendants can escape the family. Ophith warns her not to follow the child into the cave because she doesn't know the path. It's a secret path. You could fall to your death or get electrocuted or who knows what. The fourth sister encounters that fear is her ally and prompts Ophith to remark that she has a poor choice in allies. The fourth sister ignores Ophith and charges into the cave, vowing to finish her off once she has the child. The attendants lead the family and their child through the tunnels inside the cave. The fourth sister follows but is confused by ice structures, which give reflections. What? Why am I seeing myself? I see other things. The attendant knows the way and are guiding the family to the starship. The Inquisitor gets lost inside the cave while the family and attendants safely board their ship and escape into hyperspace. Whatever that noise is. Back in the cave, the fourth sister slashes the ice structures in an attempt to find her way out. Ophith says that she warned her. When the fourth sister accuses her of tricking her, Ophith responds that she does not want her to die. I don't want you to die. I don't want anybody to die.
We're my friend.
Ophith tells her to lay down her weapon, and she will show her the way out. The fourth sister fears the consequences of her failure. When Ophith remarks that fear is not her ally, the Inquisitor continues slashing at the ice structures in a fit of rage. She accidentally stabs Ophith with her lightsaber. Accidentally, huh? I don't know.
Maybe on purpose.
The fourth sister is horrified by her actions and apologizes. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
My bad.
I was upset. I didn't mean it.
It's just this guy. We'll be okay. Yeah.
Ophith says she doesn't want her to apologize, and that Lynn knows the way out, which involves abandoning fear and her imperial identity. Making peace with Ophith, she carries her and says that she will get them out of here. She leaves her double-bladed spinning lightsaber behind, and outside the ice cave, the rodent notices Lynn carrying Ophith out the cave. The inhabitants of Calderaan... That's not it. That's the credits are rolling.
That's the end of it.
The credits are rolling.
We need a new Sister 4 again.
New Sister 4. Maybe. Maybe she goes back. We don't know. At least we don't know on this. Yeah, so... O'Keefe is dying, and she carries her out, and maybe she saves her. We assume they're saved, and they both go off and they become lesbians. I don't know.
This is a twisted sister.
Twisted sister, right. Maybe she becomes Reva's sister, third sister. I don't know.
Maybe.
So that was great. We did a bunch of unboxings today, which is means I get to clear my desk off a little bit more. That's great. I have one left over that's boxed up still, and I think I have another one coming in the mail.
Well, that'd be perfect. Maybe a couple more. For the Acolyte.
Yeah, a couple more probably. Just being released and stuff that are coming out. They do a lot of pre-release stuff, so you can order it before it comes out, kind of thing. So, we need lots of feedback. Any feedback would be great. Just send it to feedback@kylesranson.us. Go to our website and click on the link that says feedback, and that'll come kind of the same way. We're on Twitter /X at super_duper_pod. We're on Blue Sky at Rebel Alliance Briefing Room. And YouTube, we've got video and audio up there where you can put comments in those sections as well. Anything else, Rick, on this whole Tales of the Empire thing? We've got basically focus on two different people. First three and last three of two different people.
Yeah, it kind of gave us some background. I'm going to be interested to see if they do like a second season of it or if they're going to do a whole different like Tales of something else. Yeah. So the Tales of the Jedi was just one season, and then this is now season one of this. So
yeah. See, and they could do anything. They could do like, you know, Tales of the Republic or
true. Well, any of that kind of stuff. They could do Tales of the Sith. So who knows?
Maybe Tales of the Mandalorian.
There you go. Tales of the Earth. The Darth Tales.
They could do Tales of the Mandalorian because it's possible that we may not see anything more with the Mandalorian until the movie comes out.
True.
The Grogu and the Mandalorian movie. I still am holding out hope that we're going to have another season, maybe 6 episodes or something like that, but we'll see.
Well, but so going back to the season, you know, the first 3 episodes obviously were not the same character, but the very last, you know, the very last episode of season one, episode 3, you know, the responder was, Bo-Katah. So, like, who knows? Like, you know, you do a second season and you follow up with Elizabeth Moore, you know, a little bit, or who knows what you follow up with.
Exactly.
You follow up with, you know, as a little older or early teenagers after, you know, we've seen her with Obi. And so who knows what she can do.
Yeah, I can't remember if she's ends up dead or not in the Mandalorian.
I don't remember.
I mean, she gets on the, so when we see her in Ahsoka, she's in Ahsoka. We see her in Ahsoka, she gets on the ship, you know, with everybody else.
Yeah. With I don't Ezra. Know. I know we talked about the, but I really think, like, he's going to use these, Filoni is who I'm talking about, but, like, filling in gaps. You know, this is, like, his gap filler of, you know, right. What we've already made with what we can try to, you know, incorporate canon, but also incorporate, you know, fan theories or whatever, and then we can make it canonized in some aspect by, you know, okay, we now have Tales of whatever that we go back on, and that's now our canon or, you know, our truth.
Right. I agree. I think that's totally correct. Because, like I said before, they've on this wiki site or whatever that most of this data is stored on, where, you know, you can look up and see what you forgot about. It's now listed under Tales, and then a subcategory of Tales of the Jedi or Tales of the Empire.
Yeah.
And we already had one for the Sith, didn't we? What was that?
I don't think so, because you have the young Jedi, the animated young Jedi thing.
Yeah.
That was the first one, right? And then it was the Tales of the Jedi. And then now it's Tales of the Empire, right? Or am I wrong?
Well, the Young Jedi, I don't think is part of that. I think that's more of a animated series for kids where they, you know, they're going through training and stuff. It's more of a kids show. That's partly why we haven't reviewed any of it, because it's pretty kid oriented.
Yeah,
Young Jedi. Let's pull it up here. Whoop. Now it's popping around. Set during the High Republic era, which is before the first movie. Anime series follows young Jedi younglings as they study the way of the Force, explore the galaxy, help citizens and creatures in need.
So, because none of those young Jedi, or at least none of them that I've seen, end up being like in anything later.
No. They're just random ones, I think.
Yeah, like they're just, you know, showing the different species or whatever that, you know.
There's a Wookiee in the air. There's others. Supposedly the first Wookiee to be a Jedi or whatever is in there. Yeah. I'm looking. There's just nothing really tying that series to anything, honestly. Just in my opinion, it's really an attempt to get young kids to watch Star Wars.
Buying the Star Wars, for sure.
There's not anything in here saying that, you know, hey, these guys, that some of the places that we've seen in different movies and series and stuff are in here, but they're just calling them out because, you know, they're tying it to the main canon.
Yeah, but, exactly. And Yoda's in there.
Yeah, Pete trains him.
I think that's really the only one that I've seen, like, that has a connect with anything else.
Yeah. There's only 6 episodes. I mean, if you really think it's worth time, we could review these too. Looks like they released them 2 or 3 episodes at a time.
Nah, I'm good. We'll pick up on the Acolyte.
Yeah, next week,
because it comes out what, Wednesday, Tuesday? Tuesday, right?
Yeah, which is different. The 4th, right?
I think that's
today's the 1st, so...
Tuesday.
Saturday, Monday, yeah. Tuesday's the 4th.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a weird night.
Usually it's been Wednesday, but maybe they're just capitalizing on the 4th thing.
Could be.
I don't know.
Could be.
June the 4th. I don't know if they're going to have some twist on that. But we'll see. All right. So we did feedback. So anything else you got here, Rick? Or should we get out of here?
I'll say we go.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room Podcast. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabr.kylejohansson.us. That's rabr.kylejohansson.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kylejohansson.us. This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers. Views and opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms, OTD, Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or any or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited.
Do it.
I am Kyle John Johansson, and this is the Andrew Scott Sutton. Say goodbye now.
No Andrew today. He's out, but Rick's here as usual. Whenever he can get in here, he comes in. And we're going to be around starting next week again with The Acolyte, so tune in for that. Yeah, this exciting new territory of stuff that we've, you know, never explored in any other show, pretty much.
See the dark side, the bad guys.
Yeah, we could see a time when the Sith start to rise. Or maybe have already risen and we just don't know it yet. We'll see. All right, Rick. I'm excited too. We'll see what happens. It's probably gonna be the best show of the year, I would say. Mostly because it's new, but I don't think there's gonna be a lot. Well, I guess that's not true. We're supposed to get another new show. This Skeleton Crew. We'll see.
That's not supposed to come out till October or December?
Yeah, October, I think, is when I heard last. So, pretty much a little bit after this Acolyte gets over.
Yep. Sweet.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to turn the recording off.